drive through cities along the Grand Trunk Road, as we're doing this week and next on Morning Edition, and you will pass many religious shrines, like the three onion-shaped domes that loom over this city block in Pakistan. You will also pass an endless procession of storefront schools, grammar schools, accounting schools, English language schools, and more. These are all signs of people's drive for a better life, especially young people. And we have taken this trip across South Asia because we want to talk to young people in India and Pakistan, meet the new generation along an ancient highway. Consider the people NPR's Philip Reeves met along the Grand Trunk Road. He began his journey in Calcutta, India. He's now moved west to Dhanbad, India's coal mining capital.
Anuj Kumar is cramming for his exams. The classroom's not much bigger than a closet. There's a power cut, so the room's unbearably hot. Anuj's day is just beginning. His days are usually long.
10 hours I read.
10 hours a day?
Yeah. At night also.
Is it difficult? It's hot.
Yeah, is it difficult? But we have to study for that.
This is a private coaching center. It's down an alley, squeezed inside the top floor of a narrow, grimy building. The center calls itself the Oxford Institute. Anuj is 20. He's from a village a couple of hours from here. All over India, young people toil away in private tuition centers like this one. Competition for jobs or a place in a good college is ferocious. Exam results matter. Anuj says he's driven by what he's seen in his village.
There are lots of person who is illiterate. That's why I wake up.
If he can get through his exams, Anuj wants to be a tour guide and to travel.
America and London, France. I have dream.
Anuj also has another dream.
Yeah, actually, I did go for Indian Idol.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Success on Indian Idol could have changed his fortunes overnight. The judges rejected him.
But I didn't mind because I have talent. I will go next time.
Tujhse naraz nahi zindagi hairan hoon main.
Anuj believes he'll one day succeed. In India, belief is everything.
Tere masoom sawalon se pareshan hoon.
People come here from all over the Buddhist world to worship and to meditate beside this tree. It's a very sacred place, and as you can hear, there's an atmosphere of great reverence, and it's a pocket of stillness in the middle of this vibrant and noisy country.
Along the Grand Trunk Road, great religions have taken root. Here in North India, we're in the Hindu heartland, but we've come to the spot where Buddhism began, where Buddha's believed to have achieved spiritual enlightenment more than 2,500 years ago. It's 6 hours west of Anuj's school and a few dozen miles north of the big modern highway that was once the Grand Trunk Road. Beside the tree, there's a temple. A woman sits within, rocking back and forth as she prays. Outside, there are stalls selling icons and CDs of religious music. There are lots of people, including a singing beggar and a small man sporting a big pair of sunglasses. His name's Sachin Kumar. He's 19.
I came here to visit the Buddha temple because it's very, very pleasant to see and very peaceful.
Sachin works in a call center hundreds of miles down the road in India's capital, New Delhi. He's a Hindu who, like many of his faith, takes a pluralist approach and worships at the shrines of others. We're beginning to notice the young people we're meeting on our journey are almost all religious, including Sachin.
Here's every people believes in God.
So do all your friends believe in God?
Yeah, why not? Here you rarely find any people that don't believe in God. Everyone here believes in God.
A few yards away, there's a wiry-looking boy selling handicrafts. He's Shyam Kumar and he's 15. Shyam says he has to work to pay for his schooling. He says he eventually wants to join the military or the police. This remark's startling. Government's not particularly popular around here. In fact, the state we're in, Bihar, is part of a huge sweep of impoverished rural India where so-called Maoist guerrillas are waging a war against the state. The guerrillas are also often young people, people excluded from the country's economic boom, who are championing the cause of the dispossessed, including tribal people, driven from their lands by mineral companies and other government-backed industries. Many Indians sympathise with the Maoists, though not usually with their violent methods. Those methods bother Shyam.
Me and my friends think that violence is not a good thing. As long as there is killings and murders, we can't keep studying. You know, we really don't like all this violence.
In this cheerful place, the war between the Maoists and the government seems very remote. Back on the highway, an hour's drive along the road, the war becomes real.
All around us are little farms. Beyond the fields, low hills. And in those hills, Maoist rebels operate. A few weeks back, they came out of those hills and they attacked the toll plaza behind me and killed two people and made off with the money.
Beside the road, there's a small thatched hut. Brijendra Chaudhary is sitting inside. The recent Maoist attack worries him.
Of course I'm scared. I'm a farmer and a daily wage earner, and we're the ones who are caught in the crossfire, so of course I'm worried about what's going on right now.
Brijendra's 25. So far, the young people we've met on the Grand Trunk Road all believe they can transform their lives, no matter how great the odds. Brijendra's given up hope. He and his wife are illiterate. They barely survive by farming. Yet they do have a daughter. Brijendra says the local government schools are useless. But in rural India, there are private schools charging a couple of dollars a month. Brijendra says he spends every spare penny on tuition for his little girl. She's only three. But every day, Brijendra prays that one day she will lead the family out of poverty.
Yes, I would very much want her to be educated, to get a job, move into the city, and find a much better life than the life that I lead out here.
Philip Reeves, NPR News.
Phil is part of a team of NPR correspondents and producers here on the Grand Trunk Road. We're traveling across India and Pakistan, talking with young people along a centuries-old highway. And elsewhere in today's program, Phil is talking with Indians grabbing for new opportunities in an ancient land. This is NPR News.